Oh, ain't nobody need this? I feel a good spirit. And I'll be glad to turn it over to you. Philippians, first chapter. Pray for her. Especially our young people, I guess, for the Christmas play. Parents has got to be here to... I give in, I guess. Told me we wasn't going to have much more this Wednesday night, Christmas play, but we've got such short time, I guess I'll have to get out of the way and shut up. I forgot to mention, my old buddy Don McKinney, he's been here one time in a wheelchair and worked with him a long time ago in the 70s, but they always, him and his wife always watch on the, they've learned how to get it on TV somehow or other, but he called me last night and he said, Bill, I can tell you didn't feel good. And he said, I told my wife I need to call and check on you. And I appreciate that a bunch. I tried to hide not feeling good Sunday, but you can't always hide it. If you don't feel good, you just don't feel good. But I was glad he noticed. I was glad he's watching and said he really enjoyed the message and praying for us. And I tell you, that means more than we can ever think about. We'll probably just read the whole chapter, first chapter of Philippians. It'll be all the way down close to the end before I get to probably what's on my mind. But we'll just read it and make comment. And I don't usually do this, but if anybody needs to comment on one of the verses, I just feel free to do that. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. So he wasn't leaving out nobody. The saints and the preachers and the deacons. He sent the message to them. And Paul was in prison in Rome here, if I've read the scripture right and the background of it. And I thought, how many of us would, if we was in prison, would sit down? And you know, you got more time to sit down probably in prison than anywhere else. But sit down and write a letter and concerned about a church in Philippi, and giving praise and honor for the God instead of crying. If I was in prison, I'd probably be crying. I'd probably be moaning and groaning and the bag lunch and some of them peanut butter and loaf breads, all they get for supper in a bag. Amen. But they survived for that. But Paul wasn't, he wasn't muttering and grumbling. He said, grace be unto you. He was concerned about the church at Philippi. He said, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So maybe, and I thought about Jimmy there and in Raleigh, and he made the best of it, but he said, seemingly, I never could really get right with God when I was out here. He said, maybe this is what it took. And he laughed about it, and he said, I always kind of wanted to get into the jail and do a prison ministry. He had that on his heart, but he never could keep his heart right with the Lord. But he said, I listen every day to several different preachers. I read my Bible. So he said, I've got my heart right with you, with the Lord. He said, I've got my heart right till I can pray for you. So that's a blessing. You know, our heart breaks and we cry because ours is locked up or ours is in trouble or maybe ours is even sick. But if it takes sickness or trouble for them to see and get right with God, I praise the Lord for it. That's all we can do because nothing else matters. And James tells us, and I like to quote it, that life is just a vapor, appears for a little while and vanishes away. So I can really see that life is a vapor. Same yesterday, just yesterday when I got saved, and going on 54 years, I'm telling you, it flies by. And he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. And I thought about, and I don't do it every day or every week, but sometimes I get a burden, a terrible burden for some of ours that have been so faithful to the house of God, and they're not here no more. Some of them are maybe in a church somewhere else, but there's so many that's not in a church somewhere else. There's so many that slipped and fell away from their first love, and maybe not going back and doing the same things that they one time did, but they ain't in the will of God. Can we go to heaven out of the will of God? Can we go to heaven going back and breaking the commandments of Almighty God? Even the simple commandment is love our neighbor as ourselves. Love the Lord thy God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And the Bible plainly teaches us that the other 10 commandments is taken care of in this one commandment. If I love the Lord with all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my mind, I'll love my neighbor as myself. Amen? Amen. Yeah. That's just a simple. So that's why we don't love everybody all the time. That's why I get smart at it sometimes. That's why we fly off so easy sometimes. That's why we're so easily offended or provoked. How easily is it, if we're looking for an excuse anyway to get out, to be offended, and we don't want to say, I'm offended at the Word of God. We're offended at the preacher. Do you reckon that being offended at Preacher Bill is going to stand when we stand before God? I promise I've not offended nobody intentionally. And if the Word of God does, there's nothing I can do about it. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And how important was the remembrance of Paul with the fellowship at Philippi when he was sitting in jail? And I thought about some of these that's in jail now, and some of these that's in our nursing homes, and some of these that are sick at home that can't be here. But can we stop for just a minute and think back about the fellowship that we had with one another? I don't know what about you all, but Andy, I can go down the line over the last 40-some years that I've been here, and I can go down the line and I can think of some fellowship and some of the good times that we had together. Amen. Some things that happened at our church and some things that excited us that just seemingly, it's not with us every day, but it's in our remembrance and it comes back and think about the good times. I need to mic on. If I'm going to preach, I do, don't I? But think about the remembrance that the good times that we've had and the shouts together and the loving one another. And I can go back to some of the old home prayer meetings. And we used to have a home prayer meeting almost every Friday night up on the mountain. And old man Ivan Payne tore out, and several of you know him. He tore out two partition walls and his three little rooms in his house. And he made those three little rooms a church. Amen. And I think Andy might have seen this too, but I remember a time when we were anointing up there one night and praising God. And I'm going to tell you, that's before people got afraid to worship God. That's why people got so much on their mind, amen, if they couldn't enjoy the blessings of God and the healings of God. That's before too many of us had insurance and things that we could turn to and lean on and go to the doctor. Bless God, we're now anointed with oil. And I remember, and you remember it, Melody, that when our kids was growing up, I didn't have no insurance when my kids was growing up. I didn't know nothing else to do but pray, amen, after I got saved. And Scott, it was like 4 before I really got saved, before I turned my life over to God. But we had the power of God, and I remembered, and Andy may remember, and the last time I was in that old house, and I don't even know for sure if it's still standing, but I think it is. But I remember old man Ivan Payne anointing, amen, and the oil run off his elbow, and there was a greasy spot of oil, olive oil, on that old wood floor, just an old board floor. He didn't have no rug or no carpet or anything. And that we'd go up there and I'd see that spot of oil. And I tell you what, the power of God, it'd bring back some remembrance to me. And I believe, glory to God, Paul thought sitting there in the old cell block, and we got to go into one of them dungeons that was a cell block over there in Israel. Man, it was terrible. And some of the holding places that they had him, they took him out and mocked him, made fun of him. And y'all read it about Samson there in the Bible, where he had to turn to gristmill, and they plucked out his eyes and made fun of him and laughed at him because he'd been a great man of God and strength. But I believe he had some remembrance of the power of God. Amen. And as old Paul sits there in that Philippian jail, glory to God, I believe he in the Roman jail, and he looked back at them Philippians, and he thought about, I seen that one right there get saved. And he said, men old Timothy, sir, we're in the same mind. And we got together and we prayed, and we seen revival break out over there in Philippi, and we seen souls get saved. We seen the elders come together, and we seen people be ordained as deacons, and we seen people announce their calling to preach and take over a church. And they had a lot of house churches because there wasn't many buildings like it is today, but they could go from one house to another and have church. And I believe they could remember one getting saved. Old Paul sitting there, instead of getting depressed and letting oppression come on him and being locked up in that old cold cell, I believe he got to remembering about revival breaking out in the church at Philippi, and how the church at Philippi, he said, when I look at that and I bring it back to my remembrance, Roger, he said, there's joy in it. You know, glory to God, I can think about one day when old Roger and Bill come to the altar on a Sunday morning, glory to God, and they had a little granddaughter, amen, and invited them to church, and it conviction. The almighty power of God got down on their heart. I'd like to tell you something today. What's that been, 20 years? 22 years. 22 years ago, I'm going to tell you, the power of God was in Mount Vernon Church. Amen. I can remember the power of God, and I can't go back and sit down in that and expect it to be like it is today, because glory to God, we're not coming together like we did in that time. We had prayed, amen. We had prayed. Little grandchildren was excited, wanting Papa and Mama to get saved. They were wanting children to come in. They were wanting their little parents to come in, and they were wanting things to happen. Amen. And why was the grandkids all excited about it? Because Mom and Daddy, amen, had got down somewhere and prayed for Roger and Veer. Not just them, but I'm using that for an example. But glory to God, we don't get down by the bedside and pray like we used to pray. We don't carry a rock to the altar and pray like we used to pray. Sometimes I don't stay 2 minutes and I'm right back up and going right up through there. I'm going to tell you, I've lost a lot of tears because I don't stay in the altar long enough for the power of God to come down. I don't wait, Andy, for the oil to begin to run and drip off of it. It come off of Aaron's beard one time when he anointed. This thing is real today. We don't sit around and wait for the power of God because we're too busy. I need to be there. My phone will ring. I shouldn't take that thing to the altar with me. I shouldn't take nothing to the altar with me but my burden, my heart, what God had given me. But I thought about there's things when we're in trouble that we can remember back and rejoice. You know, I can remember back in 05 when the doctor said, and y'all tired of hearing this, I know, but let's do it one more time. When the doctor said he'll never see daylight at 3 o'clock in the morning, he sat down with me and Janet, he said he'll never see daylight. He said he should have done died. And he seen us, we fell apart.
our son lost, drunk, blown all to pieces with a double-barrel shotgun. His guts hanging out. He said, we gave him 30 units of blood. He said, he's going into shock. There ain't nothing else we can do. He found out we was Christians. He said, well, let's just give him 5%. He said, he should have done been dead. He said, he'd never see the sunrise. You talk about a sunrise at the old Baptist hospital in Winston-Salem. Glory to God, the shout come. I praise God for the sunrise. Amen. And he's still alive today. I look at it since, glory to God, it ain't nothing Mom and us done. But they prayed in the Philippines. They prayed in Cuba. I remember 13 months after, it was in June of 06, the doctor was going to operate. And I said, Doc, I've got my plane ticket to go on a mission trip to Cuba. I said, could you put his operation off one more week? 13 months trying to sew him back up and get his guts together. Oh, Dr. Chade, he said, yeah, I'll do that for you. So he put it off another week, and we went into Cuba, and so many of those folks couldn't understand English, and they didn't have pulpits. They had a little table with a cloth over it, and they would lay a cloth out over it, and I had a picture of Scott, and I used to carry it in my Bible, and they made me at the prison take it out. I couldn't carry it in, but I'd lay that picture down, and I'd get somebody to interpret to say, they're going to operate on him, sew him back up. Next week, will you pray? And we went into 14 places, 14 different places in 5.5 days. And there was people praying. I see it as every language. They were praying in Latvia. They were praying all over America that knew us. Don't tell me prayer don't work. Don't tell me that God can't answer. Hey man, he's still the same God that saved us, old drunk. He's the same God that picked me up. Hey man, I seen me today hanging around that commode in a drunken stupor. I can see a God that picked me up that's still my God today. Hey man, just as big as he ever was, just as bold as he ever was. Hey man, he's just as powerful as he ever was. He's still doing the miracles, glory to God, if we still want them. He's still blessing churches over problems, over things. We just need to stand up, amen. We don't need to be afflicted and beat down with the things of this whole world. Praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. I'm a crybaby. Thank you. Just a crybaby. My God's good to me. He's good to me. Sometimes, honey, I've chewed the meat. I got to go back and get me some milk, amen, to wash it down. Just get some milk and fruit from the master's table. Praise His holy name. Thank you, Jesus, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's a promise from God that Paul told Philippi there, the Philippians there, glory to God, that the one that began a good work in him will do it till the day that Jesus comes back. So that good work that God done when he saved our soul, amen, is that same God will do it, amen, till Jesus Christ comes back to gather his church home. So why should I be afraid? Why should I let a little affliction, so many things that I can't do nothing about, I can't fix, I can't even heal it, I can't do nothing with it. But God can take care of it, because he said it, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, amen. He's worthy of our praise, church. He's worthy of our praise today. I found out the more people you get together, the harder it is to get them to shout. But when there's a few of us left, and the rest are here, and the others yonder, and the rest up yonder, glory to God, it's time that we get enough together to shout, amen, and give God praise for what he's done for us. He's the same one that done the thing in my life that I thought could not be done. The devil told me I couldn't live it. He said, wait until you get old. You'll never quit drinking. You'll never quit cussing. Your family will never be the same. Glory to God. He's the same God. Amen. That told the devil, he's mine. I'm going to take him away from the alcohol. I'm going to set him up on his feet. I'm going to make a soldier of glory to God. That ain't afraid. I ain't going to back down. He made a liar out of the devil right there. And about half of the community of Logap. I said, he'll never do it. He'll never be nothing but a drunk. I'm glad, glory to God, the church don't know and the people don't know how great my God is today. Amen. He's able to take care of us. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, there's been a time in my life, and let me be honest, I've been afraid to go all out for the Lord. Because I was afraid of the trouble that would hit me. Every real man of God that I knew had problems. Had problems. You know what I didn't want? What does the flesh not want? Problems. You don't know how great God is till you step out and try Him and He fixes your problem. He gives you peace. He takes care of your every need. I stood beside of our little baby's tombstone in early 60s. I stood beside of that lost and undone without God. And went on to 68 before I accepted the Lord as my Savior. He called on me just ever a little bit. He spoke to my heart just ever a little bit. He convicted me. He showed me, he pointed out my sins. Seventh verse, I need to go on. Even that it is meet for me to think that this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. That confirmation, I jotted down a definition of this several years ago. I don't even know when I marked it or when I preached this, but I preached it evidently. And he said, when a person has the right to all privileges to the church. That's the confirmation that Paul told the Philippians that they had. They had all the rights in the church. And I thought, if Roger eats the good of the lamb, why can't Bill eat good of the lamb? If Roger can smile and get a prayer through once in a while, Bill, why can't me and you? If Nancy can overcome lung cancer and the things that the world has thrown at her, why can't I? If our sister, and I may have this wrong, our sister ain't talked to her daughter in a long time. Son, I got it wrong. Son, for several years. If she can do it, how many? 17 years. If they don't, I can. How about it, Jennifer? There ain't nothing you can do about yourself. But God can give you comfort. That unseen hand of God. About to have a running spell. The unseen hand of God to touch things that we can't. You know, Jenny had a cousin. We got a call yesterday and He's been gone and messed up and he's married and went to Florida and separated and ended up in California. And we was trying to count it up, I think maybe 17 years since we seen him, or 18, since he come back here and stayed a little while. And we got a call yesterday that he's 70 years old, 72, had died, big health problems. They said, the chaplain called and said, he got right with the Lord before he died. I thought poor Ricky, from the time his separation come, wasn't nothing but trouble. Ended up in jail in Florida, run to California, ended up disability, sugar and all kinds of diseases. Lost, he had a trailer park in Florida, lost everything he had. Ended up running partially in Mexico, on the run. But the chaplain said, I don't know. The chaplain said he made things right with the Lord. So what does that other stuff matter? I mean, the house would have been gone anyhow. He's dead. The trailer park would have been gone. Never had no kids. And after his wife left, he's just single. He had nobody. Think about it. If, and I'll have to say if, I don't know. But they said he got right with the Lord. That's all that matters. It don't matter whether I seen him or whether I witnessed to him or whether I was there or not. God sent somebody. Amen. Let me tell y'all this little story. Church tired of hearing this, I know, but I need to refresh your memory what God's done for me. I hadn't seen Scotty in, I forgot, 7 or 14 days, I forgot. We was having revival and we was praying it before we added on to the church. I was right along here somewhere on the floor praying in a revival. Just plain as I'm talking to you all, God said, he's alive, but he's in trouble. 2 days we got a call from Texas and he's in jail. God spared him. In Eastland, Texas, just past Dallas-Fort Worth, about 100 miles. Just so happened, a boy I work with had just got a new pastor in Wilkes County. And you know where he was from? Eastland, Texas. Well, glory to God. He said, I'll take you over if you want to meet him. I said, ride me. Take me on over. He said, I know a pastor in Eastland, Texas that will Bible into your son and talk to him. I said, that's all I can ask. So I thought, if Butch goes in and can talk to one of somebody's sons or daughters that they can't get into, or if I can go Friday and talk to one, ain't it worth it all? I'm indebted to God. Like, and it shouldn't have happened. But like 3 months, he was home under probation. That didn't stop our troubles. Hello? That didn't stop our troubles. But God got to speak again. And through your trials, God may speak again. Let me read on in the Word of God. This is good writing. I'm telling you, it's some good reading. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That's the 9th verse. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So that's directions and leadership and a roadmap to tell me and you how we need to live. He said, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. What Paul was saying here, he said, me being in jail has reached out to the furtherance of the gospel, to make the gospel reach out more, to get to other people that it couldn't have got to. And I know what we'll think, how can I witness to anybody in the hospital? How can, if I got problems and I'm down myself, we preach that way sometimes. When I'm down myself, how can I get to you? Or how can I help somebody else? Paul said, here I am locked up in my afflictions. It's been for the furtherance of the gospel. So everything works good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. That hit me. He said, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the places and in all other places. I want us to look right here what it done. 14th verse. And he said, many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So he said, if Paul was in jail, that his brethren waxed bolder and bolder to speak without fear, because Paul never shut up in jail. They locked him up, but they couldn't hush him. They couldn't stop him. They couldn't stop him from praising the Lord. We read it in a place or two there in Acts where the jail bars just opened up and Paul walked out, but they didn't go nowhere. You know, he knew he was going to get out of there. That's faith. I need some of Paul's faith. I need some more of Paul's faith. And it's to the furtherance of the gospel. So I thought, and I'm not bragging on this, but when Scotty was shot, we'd been up 2 days and nights, and he got shot on Friday night about 1 o'clock Saturday morning, and when we found out. But we come on in and preached on Sunday morning. And I won't never forget it. The old boy pulled 4 years in prison, and he's had his ups and downs, but he sat right over there. And he talked to me after church, and he said, Bill, I have seen that you're what you say you are. I've not seen the boy in a good while. I talked to him several times after that. Some of you know him if I called his name. Last time I talked to his mom, he's doing pretty good. But that was for the furtherance of the gospel. We need to show people, and how do we show people? That's to walk over our fear, to walk over our obstacles that's out there. The things that Satan has thrown out there to beat us down and to stop us. And I may be down tomorrow, I don't know. But I pray my arms will work till I can keep praising God. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident, but my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife. Ain't that happening today? And some also of goodwill. The one preaches Christ of contention, not sincerely. Ain't that what the word of God says? Do we not see that on TV? Do we not see that in our community? Not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my bonds. So what they were doing is saying, no doubt, they were preaching. If that God that Paul is serving, if he let him lay over in prison, said, I don't want to serve that God. Can't you just hear him preaching that? Can't you just hear him? Old Bill's down with a heart attack. That God that he's serving, the one he said would heal and took care of him all these years, there he lays in the hospital. I'm going to tell you, I praise God every instant that I was able to raise my arm in the hospital. I witnessed every day I was in there how what God done. I showed pictures of the church hanging around the altar that didn't quit revival because I was sick, but they were praying and they got closer to God and they went to our house and prayed around an old-fashioned altar. I praise God for that. I pray that's for furtherance of the gospel. It couldn't have happened if I hadn't had the heart attack. Things couldn't have happened if you hadn't had the problems that you have. Think on it. We can get down in self-pity if we want to, but it's for the glory of God. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Paul said he's I know I've preached this. Defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, I will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So Paul said it's just going to make him closer. That's what he said. He said it's going to return to my salvation. And no matter what they preach or what the others think or who they talk about us or how they try to beat us down, glory to God. He said, I'm just going to praise the Lord in him. I'm just going to rejoice and keep giving God praise. And he said for me in the 21st verse, he said for me to live in Christ and to die is gain, but I live in the flesh. This is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I won't know. What he would like to do, he can't. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. You know, most of us today see life here better than us departing and going to live with Christ. That's a majority of our thoughts. I'll have to say many years, I enjoyed this life. And I'm not down on it now. I ain't talking about them going out here and commit suicide. But it'd be better for this old body to be glorified than to fight the battle that we're fighting right here today.
The flesh has great control if we're not careful. The flesh will beat down the Spirit of God if we're not careful. Our want to and our hurts and our desires will beat down the Spirit of God. Nevertheless, I thought about it. Let me just bring this out. What we can see with our natural eyes is fleshly. What we can touch with our natural hand is fleshly. That's going to part and go away. But that we can't see, all that we can see is temporary. But that we can't see is eternal. And it's so hard to separate that. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul said, it's more needful for me to be here in the flesh for them. Not for himself, but for them. For them. For I am in a strait betwixt, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in this flesh is more needful for you. 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for all your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. He said there's going to be happy and tickled to death to see Paul. Sometimes I wonder if a church is very happy to see me. I don't mean just Mount Vernon. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Paul said he could rejoice if he could hear of their affairs, that you stand fast in the Spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing, this right here is what was really hitting me today. And he said, and in nothing, I ain't give nobody a chance to say no word if you wanted to. I ain't shut up for 15 minutes as hard as I could go. Anybody got any comments on that? The first 27 verses. I'm not a teacher, I promise y'all. I'm not a teacher. I can't. If it comes, I got to go. And if it ain't, I don't. But he said, and in nothing terrified by your adversary. Let me read 27 again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye may stand fast in one spirit with one mind. Striving means working or fighting. Actually means fighting together for the faith of the gospel. And today, neighbor, can I tell you, it takes fighting to keep the faith. It takes fighting against our news media, our government, our laws, our rules. All that's passing by, the adversary of the devil that I can't see. I just see his works. But he said, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. So he said, don't be afraid of anything. Any of your adversaries, anything that come against you. It don't matter if it's a boat or if it's a doctor or if it's a sickness or if it's an airplane. It don't make no difference. If it's a great, great black ruler, it don't make no difference. He said, don't be terrified by your adversaries, and ain't just one of them. It said adversaries. How many's got more than one adversary? Hello, I have. More than one adversary. Amen. Which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. So we know when the adversary is not liking us and the adversary is trying to knock us down, beat us down, stop our testimony, stop us from telling somebody about Jesus, even praising God, and he tries to take our smile. He tries to shut up our mouth. He tries to take our joy. He does everything that he can to shut us down and to cut us off. He said, for nothing be terrified of your adversary. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Can we get that? I don't like some of that, just to be honest. Do you? For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. Am I willing to suffer for the Lord's sake? Having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Same old problems Paul had. Same old problems Paul had. He said, you'll have them. We've been fortunate in America not to be locked up. I was locked up about 30, 45 minutes one time because I had a pocket knife in Greece on a mission trip. And I scared to death, I'll be honest with you. I'm so dumb, I couldn't even got on another plane. The planes was going out. Our group should have done been gone. God held up a plane. I told the church, it's the only standing ovation I've ever had in my life. I come on that plane, and God had to hold it up. It was between 30 and 45 minutes. And I got my Jackie Dip had given me a old-timer pocket knife. And they'd just been a-stabbing in Greece. I got my pocket knife back in New York. We had a three-hour layover in New York, and just happened that I could go around and ask questions and aggravate everybody and found my knife. All that's just a miracle from God. That's it. I've been pastoring almost 30 years, so that knife's 31 or 2 years old. Been through Greece and jail and lockup. I'm done. Anybody else got anything on their heart? I've had a ball. If I don't get to have another ball, I've had a ball tonight.